Good evening, everyone. Thank you for attending the October 28th Public Safety Committee meeting. I now call the meeting to order at 6 p.m. If you can stand wherever you are, I will now conduct the Pledge of Allegiance. So please place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I will now proceed with roll call. And just give me a moment here while I unmute our committee members. I'd like to please note that as you've noticed on our meeting agenda, we currently now only have four committee members. Ms. Sanaware has unfortunately, but good, in a good move, has moved on to a different location outside of the city of Stanton. So unfortunately she can no longer serve on the committee, but we will be opening up her seat again in January once the election is over. So one moment while I unmute the members. Mr. Bates, if you can go ahead and unmute yourself by either dialing star six. Ms. Shaver, if you can unmute yourself by dialing star six or using the unmute button on your device. Same with Mr. McKino and Mr. Torres. Committee member Bates. One moment, he is here. I just got to hear it from, from him. Go ahead, Mr. Bates.
I'm here.
Committee member McKino.
Here.
Committee member Shaver.
Here.
And committee member Torres.
Here.
Thank you very much. One moment, please. So the introduction of guests this evening, item four on the agenda is Mr. James Wren. He's the Public Safety Services Director, as well as Lieutenant Wilson, the Stanton Chief of Police with the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Item number five is oral communications from the public. We have none and have received none. Item number six, consent calendar. We have none. Item number seven, unfinished business, we have none. And now item eight, new business. We have item 8A, update regarding proposed ordinance to amend the Stanton Municipal Code pertaining to regulation of massage. To regulations of massage establishments within the city of Stanton. This will be presented by Director Wren. One moment, please. Director Wren, if you want to go ahead and hit star six on your phone. And to the committee members, if you have any questions at all, I will keep your microphone on mute. Go ahead and dial star nine, or there should be an option on your device where you can raise your hand to let me know if you have a question that any of our guests can answer for you. So one moment again. Director Wren, go ahead and dial star six, please. Hold on one moment. We're just having a little battle of the unmuting here. One more time, Director Wren. Mr. Wilson, can you, Lieutenant Wilson, are you able to unmute yourself as well? Okay,
I see. I'm here, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you so much. Director Wren, one more time. If possible, Director Wren, maybe you want to hang up and call back and I can re-enter your number into the room. Okay, so Mr. Director Wren has disconnected. He'll call back and hopefully we'll have better luck. In the meantime, I'd like to just make a quick announcement for the committee members. Just as a reminder, you are appointed by a council member and your seat number corresponds with that council member. So as you know, we have an election coming up where two of our council members are up for election slash re-election. And the three seats that will be up for reappointment again would be the current vacant seat by Ms. Santa Ware, also the seat by committee member McKino and committee member Torres. So what that means is that you were appointed by a council member who's up for re-election, so you follow their term. So what's going to happen is that your seat will be reopened for appointment sometime in January. And we definitely ask that you reapply. It's kind of like a job. We do have to open it up to the public once again, but we do encourage our seated members to reapply for the position as well. So just please keep that in mind. If you have any questions, just go ahead and give me a call. We have Director Wren back on the line, and your microphone is live, sir. So if you wanted to proceed with item 8A, go ahead.
What for the 2020?
Kind of breaking up. Do you have to move to a better location, sir?
Right. Mobile.
Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Again, if you have any questions, just let me know or contact a director.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
All right. So item 8A, are we all good?
Yes. Yes.
It's going well. It's going well. So item 8A is an update related to our massage ordinance. Everything is still moving along. What we did discover is that we are making a slight change to the zoning code. So it is going to go through the Planning Commission before it goes to City Council. That's going to take a little bit more time, but we're in good shape because we need this done before the new calendar year. If you remember, as previously discussed, what we're trying to accomplish here is it's a full change in the actual code, but what we're trying to accomplish is two main things: the inclusion of distancing requirements between locations and the inclusion of the day spas in the count. So combination of those two things will help us limit kind of the over proliferation of the massage establishment moving forward. So that is going well. I will keep you updated. Hopefully by the next time we meet, that will have gone through the council process and we will have that in place. So that's all I have. If there's any questions on that.
Well, at this time, you are more than welcome. I'm actually going to go ahead and ask to unmute each seated member, and you may ask any questions that you may have. So feel free to go. Your microphones are live. Other than Mr. Bates, you can go ahead and dial *6 to unmute your microphone.
Hi, Mr. Wren, this is Jenny Schauer. I just want
yes,
to
ma'am.
Hi, how many massage parlors do we have now?
We're sitting at 9. And then with the inclusion of the day spa, that's going to be in the 4/5 range. One place has indicated they may shut down on their own. We're at our peak, we were at 37 plus about 8 or 9 day spas. Right. So if you want to call that 45, and then what my goal is to have it at a manageable number, keep it in that 12 to 13 range. 12 is kind of a magic number for me in terms of enforcement and being able to visit these places regularly. That being said, it should be right at 12 or 13. Once the distancing requirements are in, if any of the locations, conduct business in a manner that could, they get themselves closed, there's a likelihood that we will go down from there. But the idea with this mesh network that we've created, it will not exceed that.
Okay, just one more question. Does the COVID restrictions limit them to opening, or are they allowed to be open, or what's the deal on that?
They are currently open with restrictions, kind of the little wedge of where they fit in terms of you know, they're specifically called out in the code as related to the what's opening across the state where they are legally allowed to be open, but they are required to, you know, conduct the manner in a COVID safe business. Obviously they kind of slid into the medical world there a little bit. It's rightfully so. It's something that some folks have been concerned about, but the establishments that I have visited, which isn't a ton, four or five of them over the past couple months, have all been diligent in maintaining those protocols.
Thank you.
And all community member microphones, you are all live. So if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Hearing none, we're going to move on to item 9, written communications, which we have none. Item 10, committee initiated business. Item 10A is a committee initiated item, discussion regarding deployed license plate reading cameras via flock safety. This item has been agendized for discussion at the request of committee member McKino. So Mr. McKino, you can go ahead and either present or ask any questions that you may have, and staff can answer those and provide you with any updates that they may have.
Thank you. This is Doug here. I guess what kind of drove this question or this discussion is, I don't know what the kind of public's awareness, I know some of this has been pushed out on our social media platforms. And I also understand that out in the public, you know, there's no or a very low expectation of privacy. With that being said, we are collecting a fair amount of data. And I would probably like to be able to, if a resident citizen would come up to me and kind of, if they have an understanding of how these systems work and the amount of data and the volume of data that they're collecting and the, you know, some of the potential kind of consequences that come with that, that I can go back to them and say, well, yes, data is being collected. Yes, it is out in the public, but this is what we're doing with it. This is the effectiveness of it. These are kind of the returns on what we're doing. So I don't know if we have any of that data yet or by what metrics we're going to gauge its effectiveness.
So can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Yeah, this is Lieutenant Wilson. So I just want to kind of fill you in on where we are with these camera systems. So Flock is a company that's new to the state of California. They're big on the East Coast, but they're just starting up out here in California. And so California has unique laws in regards to camera systems and recording. And so when this system first came to light and the city of Stanton entered into this lease agreement with this company, I presented to the sheriff's department, and there was some concerns that maybe our policies and the way that the Flock cameras were operated may not be consistent with what we did. And so there was an ask that I take the policy, review it with county council to make sure that we were adhering to state law and all of our retention policies were proper and that our department policies in regard to how we utilize the cameras was adequate. And so that began in June, and just last week, the policy was approved. And so now we are deploying the cameras at 100%. Prior to that, we were only using them for investigative purposes. And I now kind of explain how these camera systems operate and how we utilize them. So the cameras that we have set up in the city, as you know, are on Beach Boulevard, at Garden Grove Boulevard, and also at Star. So they're capturing all plates of vehicles coming into the city of Stanton. We also have cameras at Knott and Catella and in the area of Magnolia and Catella. Same thing, capturing inbound traffic. And then there is a camera system on Village Center capturing inbound traffic. And the way these cameras work is they work completely autonomously. They read plates as vehicles go by, and then it compares the plate numbers to the stolen vehicle database and stolen license plate database, and also a database of vehicles that are connected to crimes. And if the reader captures a plate matching one that's listed in the database, it immediately notifies all of the deputies that are working in the city. They receive a notification on the computer in their patrol car telling them that it had just hit on a plate, the location of the plate, and a picture of the vehicle. The deputies would then proceed to that location. And then once they find the vehicle, they have to go back into our system to verify that that hit is accurate. And once that's done, they can then take enforcement action on that plate. So that is one aspect of what this system does. The other part of it is the investigative side of the camera system. So like I told you, it's just on its own reading plates constantly. Well, as it reads the plates, it also catalogs that information. It goes into a database, and that database holds that data for 1 year. And so let's say we have a crime that occurs, and we know that we have a specific type of car. Let's say it's a black Ford Explorer, and we have a partial license plate, or we don't even need a license plate, and we know the time frame when the crime occurred. We can put those put that information into the database and have it search for any returns of that type of vehicle during that time frame, and it'll give us a return. And that will then give us an investigative lead to try and identify who the suspect is involved in that crime. And so that is how we utilize that database for that reason. After 1 year, that data is dumped from the server. Like I said, right now we have not been using it for locating stolen vehicles or stolen license plates or crime cars because of the policy update, but they were allowing us to use it for investigative purposes. And it did result in several arrests. We had a pretty high profile attempted murder that happened a couple of months back. When that happened, we had surveillance cameras in the area that captured the suspect vehicles driving to the location. But as you guys probably know, surveillance videos from businesses aren't always that sharp. And so although you can make out the make and model of the vehicle, you aren't going to be able to see the characters of the license plate. And so we were able to go into the Flock system, input the makes and models of those vehicles, and we were able to identify the suspect vehicles and obtain license plates. And that led to leads that identified the suspect in that attempted murder. So it's a very effective tool. It works really well. And there are a number of laws in the state of California that dictate how that data is held, how it's protected, and how it can be used.
Now, for this type of, for those policies and the success that we've had thus far, is this type of information available somewhere easily accessible to the public? I suspect at this point, you know, the majority of people probably don't understand, or they're not aware of the kind of the full capability of what the system is or is not doing. So just from kind of a public information perspective, is there somewhere that people can access either the policy or the successes kind of that the OCSD has had with it thus far or in the future?
So there in the future, there probably will be something that will be pushed out in regards to the success of the system. Because it's in its infancy right now, we don't have a lot of data. There are a couple other contract cities in the Sheriff's Department that just purchased them, Lake Forest being the most recent. They just purchased, I believe, 10 cameras, and they just went live just a couple weeks ago, and they were waiting on the same policy updates that we were. And so now they're going to be utilizing their camera system, and there are several other non-Sheriff's Department cities that are utilizing these Flock cameras. And I know Flock is very big about trying to get these stories because they obviously want to advertise their product. But in regards to us pushing out what our success is with that system, that's going to be something that'll come later down the road once I've got a solid month of using it and we can see what kind of recoveries we have utilizing those cameras. And then in regard to our policy, the department's actually moving forward to publish our entire policy manual online to where you'll be able to see all of our policies regarding everything we do.
And what's the kind of the timeline on that?
I would have to check with our safe division. They're the ones that manage all of that. That's something I have to look into and get back to you to give you an exact date or time of when that'll happen.
Go ahead. I guess one question or one kind of following on that too, what's the audit process for the users that are accessing the system to like look up for investigative purposes?
So every time somebody goes in to do a search for a plate on the investigative side, they are required to enter a reason. It's the same type of system that we have right now that we utilize through the state and the national databases where we go in and search, you know, run somebody. We have to put in a reason for why we're doing it, and we're subject to random audits. This system is exactly the same way. So if I'm an investigator and I'm going in to conduct a search, I am required to fill out a field to indicate why I'm going in and conducting the search. And then it's a responsibility of the manager, which in our case would be me or the administrative sergeant, to go in and conduct audits of the searches to ensure that people aren't using it for reasons that are outside of our policy.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I don't have any further questions regarding it.
I just have a couple quick questions. The first one being the database, is that encrypted?
Yes, it is encrypted. There are requirements by the state that there has to be a minimum level of encryption of all the data that's being stored. And so Flock has met all of those mandates, both federal and state level. And it's stored on a cloud-based server.
Okay, and then my second question is, the server, does it just house data pertaining to the city of Stanton, or is this also including other cities that participate in the program?
So the way the Sheriff's Department policy is written, we will not share our data with anybody else. The only time that we will is if another agency wants to see our data, they have to submit a written request for it, and then we will approve it, and then that request is kept on file. So we know exactly who has had access to our data. It's other than that, it is not released. The only other time would be is if, like I talked about the investigative portion of it, if we utilize the camera system to identify a suspect or a suspect vehicle, that information would be downloaded onto a disk and we'd be booked into evidence and would be part of the case file. So it would be presented in court.
So I guess if I'm understanding you correctly, then Stanton would have its own server?
I'm not positive because the servers are owned by Flock. They're the ones that maintain those cloud-based servers. So I don't know if it's, you know, a unique server that only Stanton's data is loaded onto, or if they have one massive server, but I have no access to anybody else's data and they do not have access to ours. So every city is separated on its own.
And who manages that? I mean, is that something that Flock is responsible for, or is that something that someone within the city administers that functionality to ensure that another city doesn't erroneously get access to the data?
So it is managed by Flock. The city does not have any access to the data. The data is only accessible to law enforcement. So city personnel cannot go in and search the database or view the hits that are occurring on the cameras. The only people that have access are law enforcement. And the data itself, Flock does not go in and look at the data. The system is fairly automated. So as it's collecting data, it's putting it onto the server. And then when the data reaches a certain age, then it's deleted from the server. So there's no one going in and actually conducting hands-on maintenance or hands-on deleting of files.
So when a user goes in for a search, how are their credentials set up?
So each individual location has a manager that is an admin that's maintaining the user database. So each city, like the city of Stanton, the person that's managing it is the city lieutenant. And all of our deputies are required by policy to go through training on what the rules are in regards to how the data can be used, who it can be released to, and all of the auditing requirements and the state law in regards to that information. Once they've gone through the training, then they will be given a unique username and ID number, or a username and password, and they are given those credentials by the city lieutenant. And then once somebody no longer works in the city, then they're removed from that databases or removed from that user list. So they no longer have access to the system.
And how are they notified if there's someone who has access to it, but no longer works within the police department, whatever the case may be?
So there's an admin side of this system. So as the manager, when I go into that admin screen, it will show all authorized users for our camera system. And there are permission levels set for each individual. So the way ours is set up is we have admin credentials, which give you full access to the system and the ability to add and delete users and set permission levels. And then we have a deputy level user and an investigator level user. Deputies obviously are not going to be using it for investigative purposes. So the only thing a deputy is able to do is receive hits. So whenever the camera hits on a stolen vehicle or a stolen plate or a crime car, the deputies get that notification and then they can go and try and find the vehicle. They do not have the ability to go in and search the database for types of vehicles, plates, partial plates. That privilege is reserved for investigators because that is their job. That is what they do, is conduct follow-up investigations on crimes that have occurred in the city. So they have permission level to see both the hits and also to do the searches. And then as an admin, I have access to the entire system.
Okay, great. Thanks.
This is Doug here. I guess I just had one more question. Is this something where, let's say, you know, for the cameras that we do have deployed, is there going to be some sort of kind of review process to see the effectiveness of each deployment? So let's say if we had one at Village Center Drive, and, you know, compared to the rest of the deployments, you know, this one is not, let's call it, being very productive, if you will, and we have other hotspots in the city that could perhaps benefit from that camera. Is this something that can be, you know, reviewed and possibly resources can be reallocated?
Yes, in talking with Flock, that was one of the concerns when we first contracted with them. So we are in a one-year contract with this company. So after the 1 year, if we decide, you know what, this isn't a tool that's very effective, we can end the lease and that's the end of it. We don't pay any more money. They come in and take their equipment. We also have the option at any time that if we decide that there's a camera that's not getting that very many hits or it's not a good location to have them, then Flock will come and move the camera for us to a better location. And then if after a year we decide, you know what, this is a great tool, we need more cameras, then we have the option of adding more to our contract.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions by any other committee members for this item? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 10B, which is a committee initiated item, discussion regarding ongoing issues/concerns with prostitution within the city. This item has been agendized for discussion at the request of committee member Bates. Mr. Bates, please feel free to go ahead and ask any questions or state any concerns that you may have.
Yeah, just trying to get the status on where things are with prostitution within the city.
Yeah, so I think you've probably been in communication with Alan Rigg. One of the major concerns for us was the Long Star, adjacent to Adventure City, where we had poor lighting. A lot of the trees were creating, lighting obstructions, and that's where the prostitutes tended to take John's, was over onto that street. And so I've been working with Alan, and they're going to be red striping. I know a lot of the curbs to try and prevent areas where people can legally stop, which is one thing we're looking at. And he's also looking at lighting in the area, because I know that was another concern on that location. In regards to prostitution in general, there are prostitutes around. We have not seen it near the level that we've seen in the past. For us, we've changed our strategy a little bit from what we used to do. For us, it was all about going out, finding the prostitutes, and issuing them citations for loitering. And they would take their citations, and they would leave for a while, and they would come back, because essentially it's just a ticket. And in evaluating it, the real root of the problem is the pimps that are putting the prostitutes on the street. And when it comes to pimping and pandering, you get into the human trafficking business, and the penalties are a lot more severe. And so what we've done now is we actually have a human trafficking task force. And when the deputies go out and they start contacting prostitutes, they have been educated on how to speak to these individuals to try and obtain information about the pimp that they are working for. And then human trafficking will actually come out and work with us, and we go after the pimps. And we've gotten serious amounts of time for these individuals to where they're being put away for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years for human trafficking. And so we found that to be a lot more effective strategy, to where if the pimps know that if they put hookers on the street in Stanton, that they risk being put into prison for human trafficking, pimping, and pandering.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, whatever you can do to help kind of clean up Star Street is greatly appreciated.
No, I completely understand that. That is historically always been a problem area just because of where it's located, and then just obviously the lighting, and it's just an obscured location.
Yeah, and,
Mr. Bates, Star is a priority for us as well. One of the things we're trying to do is hit it first thing in the morning, pretty much every day, trying to clear their debris. We've towed some cars over there. We kind of piggyback on what Lieutenant Wilson said. We want to kind of open the area up as much as we can. Once we get some lighting done and everything, we want to try and remove as many cars, keep it up kind of an open air feel, kind of less places to hide in the dark, if you will. So we've been very busy over there as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was, you know, until recently, you know, there was sections over there that basically weren't permitted parking. So you'd have cars parked there all day and all night. Now, I know that they made some changes where they put a sign and saying there's no parking, I think, from 10 to 6 or something in the evening. But who's actually regulating to make sure the vehicles aren't parked there?
So we actually, I mean, we don't have coverage overnight every night, but between 2 and 3 days or 3 days a week, we do have overnight parking officials that have been issuing citations, and we've actually towed a handful of cars out of there. So that has been pretty successful. And then like anything else, we're trying to, educate those that are dumping cars there and leaving them for too long. We mark it for 72 hour violations probably once a week. So I don't want to exaggerate it, but I think we pulled 5 or 6 cars specifically off of Star in the past couple months.
Okay. Yeah, great. Maybe over time they'll understand that they can't park there overnight and kind of loiter in the area. Because it basically,
exactly,
with all the trees, no lighting, all those cars, you really can't see much over there.
Correct. We're definitely trying to hit it from all angles there.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
This is Doug here. I guess this is kind of more of a broader question about prostitution enforcement in general. I think it's probably reasonable to say that kind of the root cause is it's a demand issue. Is there anything that has proven kind of effective either, you know, across the county and in a longer time scale of trying to reduce the, you know, demand for that service on the street? Because I know part of this being on Beach Boulevard for many, many years and seeing what kind of goes on is, you know, you push a group from one area, and if that demand still exists, you know, it springs up in another area, and you just end up kind of chasing any of these problems, be it drugs or prostitution, you can kind of end up chasing them around the city from spot to spot. So are there strategies that are effective in trying to curb the demand?
Yeah, so a couple of times a year we do John Stings, to where we'll bring out female deputies that will be dressed in plain clothes, and they will pose as prostitutes on Beach Boulevard, and we will actually go after the Johns that are there picking up the prostitutes. And we do that several times a year, and they're usually very fruitful in arrests.
Do you think perhaps, I don't know if maybe that the ALPR systems might be effective as a deterrent if we have a known kind of hotspot like Star Street, that any potential John knows that, you know, their full plate and everything is being recorded all the time?
Well, it depends on how you have to remember these camera systems are not video cameras, so they're not running constantly. So if a vehicle passes by, yes, it'll capture their plate. But absent somebody calling us up and saying, hey, I saw, you know, a male subject and a female having intercourse in a vehicle, and we respond out there and we can't find the car, you know, then we could try and obtain the license plate, but that would be a very tricky case to prosecute. But it's, like I said, it's not a surveillance camera to where we can log into it and watch live video or review video that have been recorded. All it gives us is still images of license plates and the vehicle it's attached to. So when we talk about camera systems, we may want to look at a different option in regards to what type of camera we would deploy in that area. Because one of the camera systems, the flock cameras are actually at Beach and Star,
right?
But they're capturing traffic heading southbound on Beach Boulevard at Star.
Right.
Are there any other questions from committee members on this item? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 10C, discussion regarding how the Public Safety Committee can be of assistance to the city and Orange County Sheriff's Department. This item has been agendized for discussion at the request of committee member Jenny Schaubert. Mrs. Schaubert, go ahead and ask any questions that you may have for staff.
I was just wondering how we could be more effective as a committee in helping get information out or any other thing that we could do.
Lieutenant Wilson, I'll take a crack at this. Actually, one of the things I wanted to bring up, and it's a perfect example, it actually came from a council member, but we definitely encourage these committee members to play the same roles. We had and it's all based on connectivity with the community. We had one of our council members essentially spoke with a more of a catering business than a restaurant. That individual gave the council members some information about something they saw late hours of the morning. They were there in early preparing food and observe some behavior. He passed that along to us. I work with the sheriff's department on it. And then essentially what it was is this bit of information was we were able to discover an illegal casino that we were not aware of. There's a couple steps involved there, but what we encourage you to do, and I know it's particularly difficult during these times, from a COVID related standpoint, is connect with the business owners and connect with the members of the community. And not only are you serving like an extra set of eyes for us, but also an extra set of ears and kind of a force multiplier hearing what your neighbors and members of the business community have to say, because this piece of information led to something really good for us. So obviously we acknowledge the difficulties with this time period, but we really count on you to be the eyes in the community, but also connecting with other members of the community, whether it be at events or just in your neighborhood, and letting them know that you're a resource that can be tremendously helpful to us. So okay. Wilson would like to add on.
Yeah, I can completely support what you're saying. Prior to COVID, we were out doing our talk on the block, and we also did business visits where we had the opportunity to speak to residents directly and also to speak to business owners to kind of get information from them on what's going on in their area. You know, because you got to remember, we're not in every place at all times. You guys know your neighborhoods very well. You know the areas around your businesses really well. And that's very valuable information for us. It's basically a force multiplier, because it's more sets of eyes and ears to let us know what's going on in the community. And so with us not being able to do those types of events, for you guys just to talk to your neighbors, you know, talk to business owners that you know, and bring back that information that they're telling you so that we can then, you know, deploy our people to better serve the community.
Okay, I have a couple of seniors that that are having trouble accessing the internet. It can be very expensive. They don't have internet, and almost all of our information is online. So how would you suggest that getting information to seniors who've basically been in their home since March and they have no idea what's going on? I've had about 4 calls from people wanting to know how to vote in districts. They didn't see the person that they wanted to vote for on their ballot. They're not understanding districts. So how do we get the information out to people who don't have internet?
See, and I think I understand the issue, and it's tough in a couple different ways. In non-COVID times, that's why our outreach is so important, particularly in areas that where there's a high senior population, whether it be the Park Place Apartments, or whether it be Roundtree, or areas like that that are where a large number of seniors are concentrated. The difficulty is them being essentially the most vulnerable population at this time. I see that it has caused that gap. Our community service division does a very good job trying to connect with the senior community and still providing senior meals and all of that type of information. So we try and connect with the seniors through that and through their efforts. But to be honest, just with the health situation at the time, it's really preventing us from getting out into the senior community, which is unfortunate. Before this happened, it would be completely normal matter of doing business where I would pop in and, you know, I'd speak for 20 minutes in the guest house at the senior, at the like a senior mobile home park or something of that nature. And then the majority of the valuable contact, I would speak for 20 minutes, but it'd take me 2 hours to get out of there because you'd have folks lined up to talk to you about some of the issues that were important to them. So it's unfortunate that we've lost that. And I'd say more than anything, I hope we get that back soon.
And I would like to just tap in on that just so the committee members know that when COVID did hit, unfortunately, I do know that a lot of our senior population is not registered to vote, but we were able to work with the Orange County Registrar of Voters office and obtain a complete listing of all our senior voters within the city of Stanton. And we actually had our staff members go call each of those seniors and offer them services and ask them if they had any needs that needed to be met. So when the pandemic did hit, we did have that type of outreach initially. So hopefully they keep in mind that the city is here for them. We definitely can talk to staff and see if that's something we can, or if they are. I haven't touched base on if it's continuing to happen, but I'm quite sure and I'm hoping so that we are conducting kind of like monthly outreaches to our senior population. But definitely something I'll ask staff and I can report back to the committee on that item. And then also, if you do have seniors that are calling you, Ms. Shaver, and if they do have the capability of leaving to go to the public library across from City Hall, mm-hmm. they can use their library card. And the library is now offering renting out wireless hotspots with their library card. So they have access to free Wi-Fi. If they can make it to the library, they can check that out with their library card.
Okay, that would be very helpful, but how would you even let them know that?
No, definitely. So that's why I was hoping, like, if you could at least tell your 4 seniors about that. I think that was just announced last night by Councilmember Van, who's our, she's our representative on the Orange County Public Library Board.
Right. So,
and of course, we would put it on social media and our website, which they don't have access to. But right. that's what we're kind of relying and hopefully on word of mouth that you can speak to your 4 seniors who's contacting you. And we'll try, we can have flyers and hopefully, you know, Director Wren or when LT, if they're out making contact with these people, they can also make note of that. So we're hoping kind of like a slow rollout, a word of mouth type situation at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then again, I'll check with the Community Services Department to see how they're making contact with seniors. Has that ended or is that continuing? We can also mention that service to them as well through that tunnel of information.
Perfect. That would be great. And I just have, this is not related to this, but I just wanted to ask one more question. Lieutenant Wilson, when you put out things on social media. Is it only on the Sheriff's Department, like Facebook page, or does it also go on the Staunton page, the Staunton Facebook page?
I only have access to the Facebook page and the Instagram accounts for OCSD Staunton. Mm-hmm. The ones that are published by the city of Staunton are managed by the city's PIO.
The PIO. Yeah, I noticed that, and I wasn't sure it, I thought it worked that way, but I wasn't sure. I would just kind of like to see more information about, especially the good things that you do, that the Sheriff's Department is doing mm-hmm. on our city feed. I don't think a lot of people connect the Sheriff's Department, Orange County Sheriff's Department, with the city of Staunton, and they're missing out on a lot of information. So I would kind of like to see more of your information on our city social media pages.
Okay, I can talk to the city's PIO and see if he can start pushing out more of that stuff that we put on our site.
That would be great. Thank you.
And Mrs. Schauber, we actually have something going right now where our city PIO is working with OCFA representatives to do something very similar.
Right.
So it has been identified to make a concentrated effort on the police and fire side, having a bigger presence on the city website. But as you know, the website is obviously going through a kind of a major overhaul over the past few months, and that's been identified as a priority there.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other questions for this item from any of the other committee members?
Yeah, this is Doug here. Kind of piggybacking off of that. Maybe this is something we can talk about in a future meeting, but it sounds like perhaps some sort of kind of top level overview and or review perhaps of the type of outreach, be it on different social media platforms, print, mailers, to see kind of what we're doing in the context of public safety to try and get the correct information out to the right or the most number of people, and to make sure that that information, you know, as much as we can tell, is being received correctly. I mean, even within, you know, I would imagine for most people, if you ask them, you say, okay, you know, maybe we tell, you see something, you say something, you call someone, who do they call? You know, perhaps we in this group know who to call, but maybe like I said, a comprehensive review of looking at what we're pushing out to see if how effective it is, and if the right information is getting out through the right channels.
Yeah, we'll definitely take a look at that.
Thank you, Mr. McKino. Are there any other questions? One moment, please. I'm just going to double check. I'm going to unmute you, Ms. Schauber. Just want to make sure you don't have any other questions. Okay, I'm hoping none. I'm now going to move on to item 11, which is staff liaison comments. Actually, before I end committee initiated business, this is also the time again where any committee member is more than welcome to agendize an item for discussion at a future meeting. Currently, are there any items that you wish to have agendized for discussion like we did with these three items? So I'll go down the line just to make sure that we tag every committee member. Committee Member McKino, do you have anything that you wish to agendize for another meeting for discussion?
The only thing I would say is if, depending on what we come back with, maybe to review that top level overview of between our different socials and print and everything else, what we're pushing out to the public in the context of public safety, and maybe discuss its what we think its effectiveness might be, or if we can get any other types of feedback and make sure we're doing what we need to do on that side.
Okay. Sorry if you hear me typing, I can't type and mute at the same time. Mm. I'll move on to Committee Member Torres.
Yeah, I'd like a discussion regarding updates in the homeless population and the resources available to them.
Okay.
And then Mr. Torres, just want to chime in on that. It's a very good question and very timely. Obviously, there's, you know, the ebbs and flows of everything that has gone over the past few months. One of the things we have been able to do is add a resource to our team here. So what we can do is the next meeting, we have recently hired a outreach coordinator specifically for the city of Stanton. So that individual spends all their time in Stanton and has been able to provide really good resources to the homeless individuals in the community, and then also been a good resource for us on the city and the sheriff's side. So we'll take a look at making him available for the next committee meeting, potentially to give an update on what he's been able to do, and then some of the trends that he's been seeing.
Great.
Committee Member Bates?
Nothing at this time.
Thank you very much. Committee Member Shaver?
I think my concerns were already addressed about following up on the social media and how to reach seniors. The only thing I would add is maybe utilize our boards, the electronic boards, like in front of City Hall, in front of Stanton Park, to let people know that hotspots are available for seniors. Maybe if they're driving by, they could see that. I don't know how else to get the information to them.
No, that's a great idea. We welcome any ideas because we have a set mind on where we can, where and how we can provide outreach. But even if it's something we've heard, it's always good to hear because that means that you're thinking of that, which means that there's more people thinking of that outlet as well. And then I do want to note on the reader board item, because it's such a huge thing to have. And if you have noticed, the City Hall one has not been activated since probably a month or two into COVID, due to the fact that they are quite costly to maintain. So currently there are a few panels that are out, and it's more costly to replace the unit in total rather than just replacing each panel at the moment. It is almost running on its 10th year. So hopefully look out to see that in operation, but that is a great idea. We can tell Stanton Central Park to actually put that hotspot public library information on the reader board. So thank you.
Okay.
Is there a fee for this hotspot if someone goes to the library just to check them out, or is this a free service that the city is offering?
So it's not the city that's offering, it's the Orange County Public Library. And as from what I have heard from Councilmember Van on her report, there is no cost. It's like checking out a book. How they track it is your library card and all that information on there, so they know where it's going, but there is no cost. They have a limited amount, but it's enough to hopefully service our community. You just come in and check it out like a book. There is obviously a deadline where you have to bring it back, but there should be no cost to that. It's just like renting out a library.
So, I mean, are there data caps on these Wi-Fi hotspots?
I would think not if they're renting it out. However, I can definitely get some more information on that and email that to the committee members so you guys can take a look at that. I just found out about it myself at last night's meeting, the city council meeting. So I can gather some more information and then send that out to you via email.
Okay, I just ask because the way you present it, when you say rented, to me means it's coming at some sort of a cost.
Oh no, I'm sorry. The terminology for me, it's just like checking out a library book is from what my understanding is. You go in, you ask them to check out a hotspot and they check that out to you. So you take it home, you utilize it. I'm not sure the time limit in which they let you keep that unit, and then you are to return it. But again, let me look into that and I'll send you guys over some information and detail on that item.
Okay, yeah, the more information we have that we can kind of communicate would be great.
No, definitely. Oh, I think just really quick, Ms. Van said there are no data caps, unlimited data, and can be checked out for 3 weeks just like a library book. Thank you, Ms. Van. And are there any other questions? Hearing none, I'll move on to item 11, staff liaison comments. Are there any further comments from either Lieutenant Wilson or Director Wren?
Yeah, I have just a couple of things. If you guys are interested, I can send you all of the information on Flock servers, the information from them, if you're interested in seeing what type of data encryption they use and how their servers are maintained. I can put that together and have that sent to each of you if you're interested.
Yeah, that'd be great to look at. Yeah, if you can do that, that'd be great.
That would be nice.
Okay, I'll put that together, and then we'll get that out to all of you. And then the other thing I want to let you guys know, I'm not sure if you guys are aware or not, but I'm going to be leaving the city next month. The sheriff has decided to create a new bureau to deal with homelessness and mental health issues throughout the County of Orange. And so this is going to be something that's going to be built from the ground up. It will centralize all of our homeless outreach efforts and will further expand into mental health treatment. You guys have probably heard a lot in the news about defunding the police or changing what types of things police respond to. And one of the major issues that we face every day is dealing with mental health, whether it's homeless people that are mentally ill or self-medicating with illegal drugs because of their mental illness, or just people in general at home that are suffering some type of mental crisis. And so the concept behind this bureau is we're going to have deputies that are specially trained in dealing with mental health issues, and they will be partnered with clinicians, and they will be deployed 24 hours a day throughout the county. So when there is something involving mental health, these specially trained units will respond, so that you will have clinicians in the field responding immediately alongside law enforcement. And so this is what the idea or the concept is behind this bureau. And it's being created from the ground up. And because of the homeless issues that we dealt with here in the city and how smooth the operation went and how we were able to integrate with the healthcare agency and working with the federal judge, the sheriff wanted me to be the one to begin and start this bureau and build it. So unfortunately, I'm going to be leaving the city as the chief of police, and I'll be moving on to this new bureau.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements?
No, just want to thank Lieutenant Wilson for his time here. He's obviously over the next week or two going to receive his fair amount of accolades, but as far as the Public Safety Committee, just want to thank him for his participation. I've been in these situations for many years, and not every chief of police buys into it as much as Lieutenant Wilson has, so thank you for your time.
I appreciate it. And like I've said, it's hard to leave. I don't necessarily want to leave the city, but this is something that's very important to the sheriff, and you know, as a result, I'm going off to start this new bureau, but I'm not leaving because I necessarily want to. It's just, it's something that the department needs me to do. So I've really enjoyed my time here, and leaving isn't something that comes very easy for me.
We've all heard it a million times, but this is the probably the most direct case I've seen of no good deed goes unpunished in quite some time. So good luck with your next step.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you, Lieutenant Wilson, and we really appreciate the service and everything you've done for the city.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And with that, if you could just please keep in mind that there is one vacancy and two seats will also be up for reappointment again. That'll happen in January. I will definitely be sending out information and notices in advance to let you guys know once that happens. And our next meeting will be held on January 27th, 2021. But please know, if your seat has not been filled, and even though your seat is up for reappointment and we have not selected members to fill those seats yet, you are still considered that seated member until that motion happens. So again, thank you so much. And I will now adjourn the meeting at 6:59. Have a great evening, everyone.
Great, thanks, thank everybody. You.
Thanks. Bye-bye.